Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come, checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And that's right. Welcome into Chasing Checkers, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City and European Collision Repair. So excited to have them on board as a sponsor here on Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you as always. Reminder that you can catch everything on demand wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Chasing Checkers. You can also go to thegamenashville.com or chasingcheckersradio.com. As always, hope you're having a fantastic start to your 4th of July weekend. And it's still weird to me that we're talking about Road America and we're not talking about Daytona. They were at Indy last year for the 4th. They have moved the what used to be known as the Firecracker 400 weekend to September because Daytona is now a cutoff race, or it is the cutoff race for the regular season. It's the regular season finale, which I think is cool. It's just still weird not to have the Firecracker 400 this weekend. But we have a loaded show, and we're going to hit three different series all in one show, in 1 hour. So it's going to be action-packed. We're going to do NASCAR right now, talk about the big news that has been going on there with this week and some ownership changes. Matt Yoakum, who covers the Superstar Racing Experience, SRX, for CBS, he's going to join us in the next segment. And then we're going to get into the Music City Grand Prix, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix coming up in August. And then, of course, wrap things up with Sunday Money for the NASCAR race, as we typically do. So let's start with the big news of the week. And when I say big news, this is huge. This is one that nobody saw coming. Trackhouse Racing, which is co-owned by Justin Marks and Pitbull, and the press release actually said Nashville-based Trackhouse Racing. We heard their press conference a few weeks ago when they were at the Nashville Super Speedway. But Pitbull and Justin Marks, it was announced that Trackhouse has purchased Chip Ganassi Racing's NASCAR interests, meaning that Chip Ganassi Racing on the IndyCar side isn't going anywhere, but the NASCAR side is now going to go to Trackhouse Racing. This is ginormous that they were able to do this and get this done. So now what this means, because the 99 car that's driven by Daniel Suarez, and they also announced Suarez would return as a driver of that 99, they were leasing that charter. And you can only do that for a year. So they were looking for a charter to either lease another one or to buy one. They have now purchased the 1 and the 42 charger from Charters from Chip Ganassi Racing. They used to be Chargers from Chip Ganassi Racing. And so you'll have the 99 in Suarez and then a second car with a driver to be named later. And so it plus the shop and the employees and everything, they are buying all of the NASCAR assets from Chip Ganassi Racing. But again, nobody saw this coming. This was clear out of nowhere when this announcement came out earlier in the week. But Justin Marks, who is, of course, the co-owner, he has been on this show, again, Nashville-based, and we're going to try and get him on again here soon to talk about this. He held a media availability and talked about calling up Chip Ganassi and getting it all going.
Well, I thought about it for a few weeks before I worked up the courage to just do it. I mean, I think there's a lesson here, and sometimes you just got to make the call. And that's what I did. And I called him and I said, look, I'm in a process right now, or a point in time right now, where I'm trying to identify opportunities to grow in this space and to create a great future for Trackhouse. And, I just asked, you know, that includes charters, that includes a potential acquisition, of an entire operation. And if that's a conversation you'd be interested in having, then I'll come to Pittsburgh and we'll have an adult conversation about it.
And was he interested in the conversation right away, or did further talks
I think he was interested in hearing what I had to say. And I think, you know, we've known each other for some time now, and obviously I raced for them, and we have a great relationship. We always got along, And I said, if you're willing to talk, I'll fly up there and we'll sit, you know, sit in your office and talk. And he was very willing to do that. So I think maybe he didn't know how serious it was, but I was going to come to him and he was interested in learning.
There you go. Justin Marks on the conversation that he had with Chip Ganassi. And listen, I think this is big for the sport. And I mean this with all respect, and you'll hear from Chip in just a second on this, but you've heard me say on the show that we're in a new era of NASCAR. You know, Mike Helton is the chairman, but Steve Phelps, Steve O'Donnell, they're the faces now running the sport. You're going to new tracks. I mean, Road America is one this weekend that the Xfinity Series has been at, but the Cup Series has never been at. We just saw them a few weeks ago here in Nashville. So they're going to new markets. You have new owners that are coming in, diverse owners, Pitbull being a part of it, Michael Jordan, of course, with 2311. And it's just it's time to go to a new era. And it's nothing against Chip Ganassi. He's been a big part of the sport for over 20 years, and they've won races, won Daytona 500s. You know, Jamie McMurray has had a ton of success with him. But I think this is big to allow new teams to grow, and it's going to open doors, especially with the new car. And I mean, you've heard us talk about the next gen car over and over again. It's going to open up new doors for new owners, new manufacturers, and things that can help take the sport to another level. And so, yes, you're saying goodbye to people like Chip Ganassi, but I think ultimately, and he realizes this, and I think that's why he's doing it, it's for the future and the greater good of the sport. To bring in new people and have new ideas and new outlooks on things. So this is big, and I think this is going to be really good for the sport. Chip Ganassi went on SiriusXM NASCAR radio with Claire B. Lang, and he talked about this whole process from his point of view.
You know, our team wasn't for sale, really. And, you know, I had a phone call from Justin one day, and I said, gosh, I better think about this, you know, and there seems to be a little movement in the sport right now, and when I look back and saw some people like, you know, Denny Hamlin getting involved in ownership, possibly Brad, obviously Tony's involved in it, you know, young guys like Spire and these people like Colleague coming in, and hey, it's great. They're bringing all these new faces and fresh thought, and that's what the sport needs right now. And it reminds me of myself 20 years ago when I came into the sport. So I think it's all positive. And so when Justin called, I had to listen, I guess.
And he listened, and he agreed to the deal. But he brings up a good point. I mean, the some of the owners that he just named, what do they all have in common? Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski, possibly. But it's happening. They're drivers. And this is something that, and I know Jeff Gordon, who's another part of this, Jeff Gordon, going to be the vice chairman at Hendrick Motorsports, so he's in line to basically take over. He talked on SiriusXM earlier this week that, you know, Dale Earnhardt kind of set a lot of this in motion. You know, Dale Earnhardt was still driving for Richard Childress when he started DEI, and he was building Dale Earnhardt Incorporated into a company that, you know, that was what he was going to do after he was done driving. He was going to run DEI, and we obviously know what happened with that. Dale Jr. has Junior Motorsports. He's running that now. And so you're seeing all these drivers that are in their next stage of the career, even a little bit of crossover, like you're seeing with Denny and probably going to see with Brad and saw with Dale. They're owning their teams. And Justin Marks is a former driver. He's looking, you know, he has kind of moved into that. He's also involved in the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. As an investor with that. So it's just, this is how it's all going with the new era in NASCAR. And so I mentioned Jeff Gordon, and we didn't really get to this much last week, but he met with reporters at Pocono and kind of talked about his decision to get out of the broadcast booth and move into more of an ownership role with Hendrick.
Thank you. I'm excited. It's, you know, it's been, I guess, in discussion for a long time between Rick and myself, and my presence has been there, but now it, you know, gets ramped up to a whole nother level. It wasn't a choice about, you know, leaving Fox. It was really about the opportunity and the timing of you know, moving into this role full time. So that was tough. You know, I really enjoyed working with Fox and had a great team there. Learned a lot about and got a great perspective on the entertainment, the TV side of you know, the sport. And I think, you know, forever it'll help me in this new position, try to keep us, you know, connected to the TV partners in a bigger way. So I had a lot of fun, especially this year working with Boyer and Mike and those folks. That this year was a lot of fun. I'm forever grateful, really, for that opportunity and you know, appreciate Eric Shanks and his whole team for bringing me on board. And, you know, maybe it wasn't a mutual decision, but it was one of those things where they understood from the beginning. They knew that, you know, I had an equity position in Hendrick and one day that this could be, you know, home. So this is more about coming home for me.
Jeff Gordon on going to Hendrick Motorsports as the vice chairman. And so this is just, like I said, this is a trend. Drivers that get out of the car, you know, yes, they might do TV or whatever, but ownership is ultimately where they want to go. Now, I mentioned they're now going to have two cars with Team Trackhouse. And now the question is, all right, well, who is the other driver? Justin Marks was, of course, asked about that, what that is going to mean, because right now you have Kurt Busch, this is the final year of his contract. Ross Chastain was believed to be on a one-year deal. They are the 1 and the 42, respectively. And so Bob Pockrass of Fox Sports asked Justin what could possibly happen when it comes to the drivers for that second car.
Yeah, we have to obviously go through that process and have that conversation. But at, you know, at the onset, those two are the top two that would be under consideration. Like I said, I mean, it's not just drivers. In fact, there's a lot of great people there, and we want to try to retain as much of that talent as we possibly can moving into the next gen era. I think when it comes to the discussion of drivers, that's certainly where we're going to start, is with those two.
So there you go. Talking about Kurt Busch and Ross Chastain, that they would be the top two. Some others that I, you know, the thing with this is, like I said, it's a new era. So I do believe, you know, you have Suarez that, yeah, he's considered a veteran. He's been around a while, but he's still very young. If you had somebody like Kurt Busch, a former champion, in this transition, I don't think that would be a bad thing. I think somebody like Ryan Newman could be possible. I know NASCAR.com had him as a list of potentials, because the Brad Keselowski stuff is going to happen. Keselowski's going to leave Penske. He's going to go to Roush. He's going to have an ownership stake, and he's going to drive the sixth car. That has been the rumor for months, and it looks like that it is going to happen. So if Newman is available, he's somebody that I would consider bringing in for that second car. I think Chastain is a fine choice if you want to stay with two young drivers, but if you want a proven winner, somebody that's been around the block and done it before, I think you could look at somebody like Ryan Newman keeping Kurt Busch to fill that spot. But what about Kurt Busch? He joined the show about a month ago, and I asked him on his future. Now, obviously, this was before the sale of Chip Ganassi Racing, but he gave a comment about what he's looking for if he's wanting to continue to race.
Yeah, that's the big question. For me and my racer's soul, I want to drive the next-gen car. I was supposed to be out here this year on the circuit, and with COVID, it delayed things. And also, you know, our race fans. To me, going out this way isn't the right way. It's to go out in autograph sessions each week, and to go out to the sponsor appearances, and to have the midway action going on before the race. I want to try to find that normalcy, you know, on my way out. And so it's just a matter of getting things together with Ganassi and Monster Energy, Chevrolet, talking to other teams as well, and just trying to find the right fit for racing next year, even beyond that, and then also post-driving, how to work within the management of a race team.
And the thing that really stood out to me there is that right at the end of wanting to look beyond his career and being in the management, the front office side of a team, which translates to me as potentially owning a team, like, is the trend that we're talking about. So I think wherever, you know, if Kurt looked at a 2311, you know, Denny's kind of learning that, you know, maybe he goes there for a year, which he's been rumored to do, in that second car, kind of learn how that team is operating from the beginning. And then, you know, you could see something on down the line for him, something to look at. This next-gen car is going to continue to create a lot of discussion on new owners, and the charter thing can be a situation. The charter thing can maybe keep owners out, but especially because you're seeing some charters change hand for a good amount of money. Marks would not comment on how much he paid for Chip Ganassi Racing, but you know, you have to imagine that it was a pretty good amount. And Colleague Racing, you know, they bought the Spire charters for a pretty good amount. I mean, there's a lot of money involved. Dale Earnhardt Jr., who of course is in the TV booth with NBC, but also owns Junior Motorsports, was on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio earlier this week and talked about moving Junior Motorsports up to the Cup Series, but how charters can kind of get in the way.
It is the only roadblock. I mean, the way they're talking about this new car, it's going to be more expensive to be in the Xfinity Series than it would be to be in the Cup Series. I don't see how that's really possible. You know, the numbers that you hear as far as what the new car in the Cup Series is going to cost and how much it should cost to run it sound very conservative and very positive, too good to be true. But we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully they're right, that this car is much less expensive to operate and it's much easier to manage a business as an owner in the Cup Series and more profitable. I hope that's correct. But if that does happen, then the Xfinity Series is going to have to change because it'll be much more expensive to play in that space than it would be in the Cup Series. That doesn't work. So it might be almost even across the board to run truck versus a cup car in expense from the numbers I'm hearing. So we'll have to see how that all works out. NASCAR will have to do some things, I think, to relieve that monetary strain on them Xfinity teams, some of the all of the Xfinity teams, and the Truck Series as well.
That is Dale Earnhardt Jr. on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. A ton of stuff to unpack here as this sport continues to move towards this next-gen era when it comes to the cars, owners, drivers, all of these things. But I'll tell you this, it's exciting, it's fun, and I can't wait to see how it all evolves. When we come back, we talk SRX, the Superstar Racing Experience. Matt Yoakum, longtime pit reporter with Fox, now with CBS, covering the Superstar Racing Experience. He will join us here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Mercedes-Benz in Music City and European Collision Repair on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we are back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. And as promised, he is one of my favorites, longtime pit reporter in NASCAR, and now the Superstar Racing Experience. Matt Yoakum of CBS is on the line with us. Matt, how you doing?
Doing great, man. I'll tell you, like everybody else, excited to see if, I'll tell you, I talked to Willie T earlier this week, and he says, man, we have gotten bombed by another country. He's talking, I'm saying Canada and Paul Tracy. He hit just about everybody last week. He says, we've got something special for him. We're going to give him a driver intros. He wouldn't even tell me at this juncture, so I'm waiting like everybody else to see what it's going to be, but I'm sure it's going to be fun because that's been really the word of this series over the past few weeks.
So when I've been talking about the Camping World SRX series, the first thing that people go, okay, what is it, if they haven't discovered it yet? And I explained how this all came together with Tony Stewart and Ray Evernham and kind of equate it to IROC, but with short tracks, all these legends. And then they come back and they go, hey, I watched Saturday night. Holy cow, this is awesome. Like the show that they put on, and people, like you said, have brought up Paul Tracy this week and that he is enemy number one for a lot of people. That's what's so cool about this series is you never know what you're going to get night in and night out.
Well, when you look at the fact that, you know, it's 12 guys from different disciplines, you've got an age range typically on a weekly basis from 66 to, you know, 23 or 19, depending on who jumps in for a week or two. And what's really neat is, you know, you look at Tony Stewart. Man, he would have loved to have raced against A.J. Foyt. But now you've got guys who grew up watching a Bobby Labonte, you know, grew up watching different guys, and now the younger guys get a chance to race the older guys. And, you know, you look at it, Marco Andretti won a heat race. Elio Castroneves is second in the points. And, you know, so you're going, all right, it's not going to be just all the stock car guys running up front. You know, it's really pretty cool to see these guys because it's a race car that none of these guys ever really have competed in. But it's like Ray says, it's a race car. And these guys are at the top of their game for a reason, and that's having the ability to adjust. And then you throw in, and I always like to say the old prelude to the dream and Thursday mm-hmm. Night Thunder, a little bit of mix of those two with IROC, and I feel like you've got SRX. And it's been really a fun, you know, 4 weeks. It's neat to see these guys. I wish we had so much more time because the fun that they have on practice day is even larger than it is on the actual race day. The ribbing, the little needling, you know. James Hinchcliffe was our driver analyst last week, and he got a chance to take out one of the cars at Eldora. You had Marco Andretti, you had Tony Kanaan, you had Elio Castroneves, all videoing it with their phones. I think TK was live on his, I think it's his TikTok channel, or he's got something that he goes live on a lot. And I mean, it was just fun, and we're going to carry that to Lucas Oil Raceway Park this week.
Yeah, Ed, it stinks for you being there in the pits. You have no personalities whatsoever to talk to. I mean, you brought up Elio Castroneves, who is the defending Indy 500 champ, goes and wins that this year. Tony Stewart, who I know that you covered for a long time in NASCAR. You guys did a show together. Paul Tracy, Michael Waltrip. I mean, that's what's the best part about this is not only do you have these drivers that are so competitive, but they bring personality to the sport as well.
Well, and you look at the fact that, you know, some of these guys have raced against each other, you know, every event during their career, and other guys are getting a chance for the first time. And then you've got someone like an Ernie Francis Jr. And some people may like, it's kind of like that scene from Major League where the Cleveland Indians have their final lineup coming back from spring training, and people are like, what? Who are these guys? Well, some people are like, well, who's Ernie Francis Jr.? It didn't take long in the first race. I mean, he showed that he's got talent and why he's a seven-time Trans Am champion. And I keep hearing his name more and more on the radar of other, you know, other big league racing series car owners, because this kid, first time in anything, he continues to impress. First time on dirt, looked great. So, you know, that's the neat thing about this. It's not only about the older champions and stars getting a chance to, you know, race one more time. It's also about building up the young crowd. You know, Haley Deegan almost mm-hmm. walked away with a win at Knoxville. And Ernie has been stout. And, you know, you've got Doug Kobe, who was the local star, and he won the very first SRX event. And so everywhere we go, there's so many storylines that it's tough to jam it all into a two-hour show.
You guys, as you mentioned, you'll be at Lucas Oil Raceway there in Indy this week. And that's going to be fun because that's a track that I have always enjoyed. And I know a lot of these drivers have. Michael Waltrip put on his Instagram this week an old picture of, I guess it was a Busch race that had Dale Earnhardt himself in it from way back when. That's going to be a lot of beating and banging, as we've seen.
You know, he's always such a name dropper. You know,
I
just wish he would chill. But you know, when you look at, you know, having cool moments like that with the Big E, and it's funny because you look at, you know, Michael Waltrip has won there in an old Busch car. Bobby Labonte has won there in an old Busch car. So, you know, looking at IRP, which is, you know, now Lucas Oil Raceway Park, I mean, it's the stars and cars of SRX. I mean, they're going to put on a heck of a show.
No doubt about it. Matt Yoakum is with us, CBS, SRX, the Camping World SRX series. So, Matt, what has this experience been like for you? It's cool from as somebody that's in the broadcasting business, and I've loved racing my whole life, working in racing now. I just did PA for the Nashville Super Speedway, so kind of getting into it that way. But, you know, seeing guys like you, Alan Beswick, all involved in this, I mean, you guys have been doing this for so long, whether it's NASCAR or IndyCar or whatever. What's it been like to kind of do something different?
Well, I go back to IROC, and I actually worked at IROC as a mechanic, tire specialist back in the mid-'80s. And then I was the last pit road reporter for the IROC series when they finally dropped the checkered flag for the final time. So it's neat to go from one, you know, kind of across from one generation of that type of a format to the next one. And it's still the same, though. It didn't matter if it was 1990 and Dale Earnhardt and Al Unser Jr. and different people. It's like a class reunion. And all you remember are the good times of high school. because these guys come in, there's no pressure, no points, and they're just there to have fun. And although, yes, there's going to be some money up for grabs, there's points for each heat race, which is different than IROC. You know, you've got two heat races and then a 76-lap feature. And, you know, this is just the bonus, $2,500 for each heat, and then, you know, $10,000 bonus for the winner of the feature. And that doesn't count the money that's up for grabs in general as far as who takes the championship. So besides the laughs, there's also a lot of cash. So I'll tell you, if I wasn't broadcasting it, I would be sitting up in the stands for this one because it's going to be fun.
And Lucas Oil Raceway this weekend, Slinger next weekend, then July 17th. It all wraps up right here in Nashville at the famed Fairgrounds Speedway. And again, this city has become a racing city. We just had NASCAR here a few weeks ago out at the Super Speedway. We got the IndyCar, the Music City Grand Prix coming up in August. But this right here in the middle of that, July 17th at the Fairgrounds. And you, I'm sure, hearing all the things that are trying to go into that and SMI wanting to rejuvenate it, get NASCAR back there, it's going to be awesome to have you all on that famed short track to wrap up your season.
First, I guess the second race weekend that I ever did for live television from Pitt Road was at the Nashville Fairgrounds. I did a All-American 400.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, that place always has excitement. I've done a couple truck races there, and I think even an old Busch race. So always one of my favorite places. But here's the key. So we have, Lucas Oil Raceway Park this week. Then we go to Slinger, and it's kind of like taking out your cereal bowl. Mm. And then if you put it on steroids to make it about a quarter of a mile, high bank, and if we have any cars left over, then we'll be heading south to Nashville. I think it's going to be a lot of beating and banging, but you know what? That's why they got a lot of parts in the truck. So just like what happened at Eldora, tore up a bunch of stuff. I think 11 of the 12 race cars had to have some definitely some body work replaced, either minor or major, and it's going to be like that at Slinger. Can't wait to have the conclusion down at the Fairgrounds. I know I can't say it. We've got a lot of cool things already in the works for our broadcast for that event. So definitely it's going to be something you're not going to want to miss.
I know you know this, but Nashville knows how to have a good time. So I'm sure that that will be the case come July 17th.
I mean, I've heard that somewhere. You know, my friends all tell me Nashville is when you look about the fun meter, it's always pegged when you go there, and it's cool. We did a radio show from just down from Ernest Tubbs Record Store.
Oh, cool.
And, so that town has such a cool vibe, which is why everybody is migrating there in the motorsports world. Like you mentioned, you had NASCAR there. You've got IndyCar there. We're going to be there. And there's a reason for that. It's an extremely, incredibly cool fan base. And they are so passionate about motorsports, it doesn't matter. That's why I love them there. It doesn't matter which discipline, as long as it's racing, they're in.
No doubt about that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Matt, appreciate the time today. I know you're busy. We're going to be watching later on tonight with the coverage on CBS. But thanks, as always. We'll do it again soon.
You got it. Thank you, buddy.
He is Matt Yocum of CBS Sports and the Superstar Racing Experience, the Camping World Superstar Racing Experience, which you can catch at IRP or Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis tomorrow night. They'll be in Nashville July 17th out at the Fairgrounds. I told you, we were hitting everything today, NASCAR, SRX, and coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about the upcoming Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. We'll tell you some of the things we'll be involved with here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. We're back on Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is all presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City and European Collision Repair. And we are very, very excited here at ESPN 102.5 The Game and Chasing Checkers to have an involvement with the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix coming up August 8th at that entire weekend leading up to that great event here in our city on the streets of downtown. It'll be 6th, 7th, and 8th of August, as you know, capped off by the NTT IndyCar Series racing on the streets of Nashville. And I can't wait for it because I know this is going to sound crazy. As big of a race fan as I am, I've never seen a road course. And this is obviously going to be a street course race, but which is going to be cool on the streets of downtown. But I've never seen anything like that. And obviously, we've never seen anything like that in our city. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So I want to tell you that single day tickets for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, scheduled for August 6th through 8th, they go on sale this Tuesday, July 6th, beginning at 10 a.m. with a majority of the reserve grandstands sold out. A limited amount of single day reserve grandstands and general admission tickets will be available for each of the 3 days on the Urban Racing Festival featuring the NTT IndyCar Series, as I said. So this Tuesday, you can get your tickets by visiting musiccitygp.com/tickets, ticketmaster.com, or call the Titans ticket office at 615-555-4650. So get your tickets to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix coming up in August. It's and we are the official partner, radio media partner of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. So you're going to hear a lot of flavor, not only on this show, but on our entire station and on Darren Donick and Chase as well. And I'm really looking forward to next week because the defending champion, Alex Palou, and a two-time race winner, is going to join both Darren Donick and Chase and Chasing Checkers. So we're looking forward to having him on. You're going to hear other drivers. Obviously, Joseph Newgarden is going to be racing. Jimmy Johnson is going to be racing. Elio Castroneves. So some big names with connections here to the Mid-State and obviously big stars of the IndyCar Series. So in February, Chris Parker, who is the president of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, came on this show. And things have been going for a while, obviously, but they had just announced Dale Jr. as a member of the ownership group. There were a lot of pieces that were still being put together, but I asked him just how it all came together from the very beginning, and this was his response.
You know, it really has been a long time coming, several years to put this all together. The logistics behind it are tremendous when you think about having to create a temporary road course in a city urban infrastructure environment. To work with all of the different groups that need to be involved, the city of Nashville, the Tennessee Titans, Nissan Stadium, the Nashville Sports Council, the CBC, the Chamber, all of these organizations, the Downtown Partnership, all have to play a huge role in bringing this together. And that doesn't even begin to address needing a sanctioning agreement from IndyCar and also from GT America and Trans Am, which are our support series races, and then a bunch of other businesses that are adjacent to or in proximity to the race course. So it's a tremendous amount of logistics, and to everyone's credit, I think they've seen and really appreciated in the last couple of years the vision behind this and have really gotten on board. So here we are, 6 months or so away, and things are really starting to come together.
Well, and things have come together in these 5 months because we're a month away. And what's crazy is when you drive around Nissan Stadium, you can see where they're building the track. I mean, they're doing the groundwork, literally, where the track is going to be around that area, building the pagoda and pit road. And it's the labor that has gone into that is going to pay off and be such an entertaining thing. I mean, Alan Jackson's doing a concert. Tim Duggar's doing a concert. You're going to have others that are going to be involved. I mean, it's mixing entertainment and then, of course, racing. You heard him mention the support series that are going to be involved in it. But it goes to the theme that of this show that I've been talking about, of Nashville becoming a racing city. You know, you saw the Super Speedway use the hashtag NASHCAR. I mean, that's exactly what's happening with what they did a couple weekends ago, pulling off a tremendous event at the Nashville Super Speedway. You heard Matt Yoakam talking about coming to the fairgrounds of July 17th with SRX, and then the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix that's coming up in August. Those are three marquee racing events that are coming to our city, and this is not a one-off thing. I feel like that this is going to be something to look forward to every summer. I mean, I know it's not a one-off thing with the Grand Prix. It's not a one-off thing with the NASCAR. So, I mean, this is something to look forward to every summer, having these big marquee racing events in our city. In March, Dr. Jerry Punch, a longtime pit reporter, was on Chasing Checkers, and I got his opinion on what he expects out of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix.
Well, I think it is. You know, and quite honestly, Teddy Phillips and a lot of the folks that were involved in putting that together in downtown in Nashville, his whole team, I spoke to them a year ago off and on, and we talked about it as they were getting ready to go meet with Roger Penske. And I said, it's going to be a huge win-win for you guys, for Nashville, for IndyCar. And Roger Penske, I don't care if he's 81 or whatever, he's a visionary. He gets it. He understands. And when those guys went up and met with Penske, he embraced it. You know, what's not to love about Nashville, Tennessee, but they have the Tennessee Titans involved, the folks mm-hmm. that, you know, at there's so many different elements that check all the boxes, you know, big machine records. So they're going to have, you know, venues all over town with live music, you know, live country music, all different kinds of music. It's going to be like a festival, sort of like its own Mardi Gras. And then you're going to have the IndyCar race where I think the garage area is going to be over by Nissan Stadium. And then they're going to race across a bridge. They've never run IndyCars across a bridge like that through the streets. If you've ever been to a Formula One race in Monaco or anywhere in Europe or some of the streets, IndyCar, they run in St. Pete, which is a little bit like Monaco with the yacht club. It is really a fabulous, fabulous couple of days. People can mill around. They can go to souvenirs. They can go to all kinds of vendors. The merchants are going to love it because, you know, selling food on the streets, souvenir T-shirts, and then the music. It combines all these worlds of the NFL and the right. IndyCar racing, the high-tech IndyCar racing, you know, country music, entertainment, everything Nashville has been about to welcome in newer fans. And I think it's going to be a huge success. And I'm hoping that we continue to make progress in the right direction in terms of, you know, what's going on with COVID and the vaccine, which it seems like we are, especially here in Tennessee, and we can get a huge crowd allowed to come.
And you hear him mention here in Tennessee, he's a Knoxville resident, and we have. I mean, that was back in March, and now things are open here in Nashville, so I expect the streets to be filled. I can't wait to watch the first practice and then talk to the drivers, because we're gonna have special shows all weekend down there, and talk to the drivers about going over the bridge for the first time. I like, whether it's Joseph or any of them, talking about that, just racing at close to 200 miles an hour over the Cumberland River. It's awesome. It's so cool that they're going to be doing that. And I know in conversations I've had with people when they were designing the course, they kind of looked at it like, we got to go over the river. We got to figure out how to do that. That's going to be awesome. And, you know, all the safety innovations that they're going to be doing, putting the catch fences up. You got to think about this. I mean, for those of you that, you know, have seen, Grand Prix of St. Pete, the IndyCar, I mean, they're shutting the streets down, and it's more than just that and mapping off, okay, you're going to drive on these streets. You got to put up catch fences and retaining walls and all those different things from an infrastructure standpoint that goes into it. I mean, there is a lot that goes into building this race course, but it's going to be cool. It's going to be fantastic. And, you know, I think they're expecting 300,000 people downtown for this. I mean, we got the 4th of July weekend, you know, 4th of July tomorrow with all the fireworks and getting people going on. And then a month later, you're having a big party with a race as well. So, you know, everybody involved in it has to be excited. But I know we're excited here at ESPN 105 The Game and Chasing Checkers to have a big involvement with it. And on Darren Donick and Chase, you're going to be hearing driver interviews every Wednesday at 1 o'clock leading up to the event to help promote it and just get the sense of what these drivers are thinking. And one of those drivers that's going to be participating is obviously Joseph Newgarden, Hendersonville's own. He's a two-time IndyCar Series champion. I had the opportunity to talk to him back in December when this was first really announced that it was going to be happening. It was back in the fall. And I asked him about the logistics of building the track, essentially, you know, right now, you know, a month out or the weekend, and you're not really having a lot of time to work with it and figure out how the car is going to adapt to it and what that process is like.
Yeah, it's a crazy process. It's fun to kind of show up and see it when it's all done. There's a lot of legwork that goes into set up these street course events. But they're some of my favorite. You know, the big hitters in the year are the Long Beach Grand Prix, which is a very long-standing event, 45-plus years as an iconic street course race in North America. And then our season opener in St. Petersburg, Florida, where we race in downtown St. Pete, has always been a highlight for the last nearly 20 years now. So they're the coolest events to showcase IndyCar racing. You get a real visceral experience. And by that, I just mean you get up close and personal to the speed and just the veracity of the cars. They're crazy. I mean, they're really cool, crazy vehicles. And to watch the drivers drive them in a street course environment is really quite nutty, which is what I love about it. You know, I mean, you should show up and almost be a little bit scared of what you're watching, and that's what it does at a street course. So yeah, we just got to figure it out quickly. You know, like to your question, they're city streets, so these aren't perfectly made roads. It's not a perfect racetrack, and that's part of the challenge. You're trying to figure out how to navigate these conditions on the fly over a three-day weekend with you know, crazy horsepower, lightweight Indy cars, and that's the challenge. But I think we love that challenge as drivers. It's some of the most difficult places you'll race are on street courses, and it's really fun when you're able to overcome it.
Well, I can tell you this. Everybody involved knows what they're doing. The show is going to be fun, and it's only going to get better as they continue to build it year in and year out. So cannot wait for August when that happens. They're actually road racing this weekend, Mid-Ohio, the Honda Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio, and they had the practice on Friday, and Joseph Newgarden led the way in that practice as he was the fastest at Mid-Ohio, and so he looked pretty good and talked about his car after practice.
Yeah, I thought it was a good start. You know, I was really happy with my car, to be honest, just right out of the box. Still hard for warm up here, like always, but once we got going, I was super pleased with the car. I just felt like it was really locked down. So we've made some improvements without a doubt compared to last year. So we got to keep it up. You know, temperatures are going to change this weekend. Maybe not so much tomorrow, but for Sunday, I think it'll be quite a bit different temp wise. So yeah, just going to try and stay prepared, but you know, hold the speed that we have right now. If we can do that, then we'll be in good shape.
So he was just a tick over a minute running a lap at 120.87 mile an hour. Pidot Award was second. Jack Harvey, Alexander Rossi, and Graham Rahal rounding out the top five in practice. And so they will run on Sunday. And, of course, the NASCAR Cup Series, they're on Road America. So Mid-Ohio, Road America, two road races for those two series this weekend. So cannot wait for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. You're going to be hearing a lot more IndyCar coverage here on Chasing Checkers as we move forward with that. And when we come back, we will wrap things up with Sunday Money for the Cup Series at Road America. We'll do that on Chasing Checkers, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City and European Collision Repair. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is all presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City and European Collision Repair. Chase McCabe here with you as we have covered a lot of ground today. NASCAR, SRX, and IndyCar with the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. But coming up this weekend, the Jockey Made in America 250 presented by Quick Trip at Road America. Of course, up there in Wisconsin as the first time the Cup Series goes to that track or another road course, and we're getting into road course season, that's for sure. There'll be Atlanta next week, but then you'll have others, Watkins Glen going there for the first time in a couple of years, so that'll be cool as road course season is here. 250 miles, 62 laps. Stage one ends on lap 14, stage two will end on lap 29, and the final stage will end on lap 62. Of course, the Xfinity Series there a little later today with the Henry 180. So you have a Trans Am race, the Xfinity race, some Cup drivers running in those to get some extra experience for the big show on Sunday. And obviously, after 65 years, the Cup Series returning to Road America in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, road racers, there have been quite a few. I mean, it used to be you had the road racing ringers, and now you have the regular drivers that are just as much ringers as anything. So let's get into Sunday money for the Jockey Made in America 250. Chase Elliott is the favorite because he is the road racing ringer. He has a win at COTA earlier this year, plus 230. But Kyle Larson, who also has a road win at Sonoma, plus 280, to continue his winning ways. So those are the two favorites, according to BetMGM. This is where all our odds come from. So I'm going to give you my picks. Chase Elliott is one of them. I think he could potentially get his second win. Also going to go with Martin Truex Jr. at plus 650. He has been a pretty good road racer in his own right. I will also take A.J. Allmendinger plus 2,500. A.J. Allmendinger running that 16 college car. He's obviously good on the road courses at plus 2,500. And then my long shot, Austin Cindric, plus 4,000. The Penske driver is going to be moving to full-time. Don't really know which ride he's going to be in next year, but moving to full-time in the Cup Series. He's been a pretty good road racer on the Xfinity front as well. So Cindric plus 4,000. So Chase Elliott is the favorite at plus 230. And then Martin Truex Jr. plus 650. A.J. Allmendinger plus 2,500. And Austin Cindric plus 4,000. So that is your Sunday money. And that is going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. Again, you can check out the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get that. ChasingCheckersRadio.com. The Game Nashville. .com. Have a wonderful and safe Independence Day, and we will talk to you next week, next Saturday at 9 for Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game.